Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Now, I do hope that you had a wonderful Christmas. And it's getting to that time of year when you might be thinking of perhaps some resolutions. Do things better next year? Take up a new hobby, perhaps? Well, I thought that you might like to hear about something really quite different. The kind of thing that, you know, I don't know, perhaps we've all thought of. Yeah, we might have thought that would be good. And it's ended there. I spoke to Hannah. She's a local beekeeper who runs beekeeping courses for the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust to see if beekeeping was realistically something that we could take up. Let's see what Hannah had to say. Hannah, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So why did you start beekeeping?
I started beekeeping when I was about 16 years old because my dad had taken an interest in it, and I've always really liked insects. And then one day, just walking past my local train station, I saw a swarm of bees, and I waited for them to settle, shoved it in a box that I had in the boot of my car, and drove off with it, basically. So we put that into a hive when I got home, and they decided that they were happy to stay there. And then I had that hive for several years, and unfortunately it blew over in the wind one winter, so I did lose it. But it did stay around, and it was very happy to...
Wow. Well, to be frank, you make that sound very easy. I imagine there's more to it like that. So how long ago was that, Hannah?
So that was about 8 years ago now.
Right, okay. So you've been keeping bees for a little while now. Oh, and what do you find that you like about beekeeping?
I just really enjoy watching the bees, watching what they're doing. There's always something to learn about what they're doing and what they're getting up to in the hive. Even just sort of parting the frames before you take out the next one, they'll sometimes be doing wax buildings. They'll all be holding hands and making a chain and passing little flakes of wax along. There's always something fascinating that you get caught up in watching.
Wow, that really does sound interesting, doesn't it? I've not heard of that before. Now, we do hear a lot about sort of negative things to do with bees. You know, they decline due to pesticide, habitat loss and things. Is there a future for beekeeping, do you think?
I think there's absolutely a future for beekeeping, and it's really been on the increase recently, especially in cities and London. I've got a couple of hives in London, and the more I'm wandering around having a look at what's in the area in terms of forage for the bees, I'm seeing more and more hives in gardens and on rooftops. So there is a little bit of a debate at the moment in London about, are there too many hives for the amount of flowers available in certain parts of London? But yeah, I'm finding that mine are okay. And especially if you're near some of the big parks like Hyde Park and things like that, then they're going to be going to have a lot on offer. Right. And it's a lot of trees as well in London that are in flower, like the lime trees and Buddleia.
Yeah. So you're seeing actually quite a lot of good things and a lot of things improving as far as bees go. That's good to hear. So is it hard to learn?
It's about how much time, effort and money you're willing to put into it. And I definitely recommend that if someone's serious about keeping bees, that they join their local association for the year before they're planning to set up a hive. And then they've got the whole season to meet with people who are experienced with keeping bees. They can go to an apiary meeting with them where they can borrow a bee suit, have a look in the hive, and just get some guidance, really. And you get an idea of the time and costs involved, because it's not as easy as most people think initially.
Yes, yeah. So is it hard to learn? I mean, from what you're saying, it sounds like, you know, watching other people is very important here. Do you need to do more than that, though?
Yes, I'd recommend reading a couple of books, not necessarily huge books. They're just some slim volumes that are just introductions to beekeeping. And again, it's a lot of equipment that you might need and things like that.
Yeah. But so I'm just thinking, so what kind of things do you need to read about? What do you need to know about bees?
That's a very broad
question. Is that too big?
Yes, well, it's just the basic sort of care, how to open up a hive, how to handle them, and then you can get into more advanced details about what they're actually doing inside the hive later on.
Yes.
But it is mainly about generally what you should be doing at different times of the year, because right. there's different equipment involved, and yeah. It changes a lot depending on what time of year you're looking at
right.
a hive.
And also we hear a lot about sort of bee health for rower and all sorts of other things. Do you have to learn all that sort of thing as well?
Yes. So although I've said there's a lot of people keeping bees at the moment, so there are quite a few hives around, a lot of them are struggling with various things out here where it's a bit more rural. You get people putting pesticides on crops, and if your hive hasn't been shut up and they're spraying during the day, then you're going to see some effects of that. The varroa has been around for a while now. That's still a problem. And then we've got the Asian hornet that's yes. finally made its way over from France. So that might be a big problem this spring.
Right. Okay, so a lot of vigilance required as well as knowledge there. So you mentioned cost. Does it cost a lot of money? I mean, I suppose for hives, do you buy bees themselves? Do you buy them, or do you just get them from somewhere? You've just got the ores, didn't you? But
yes, so if you can just pick up a swarm and you're the first one there and whoever owns the land or the property is happy for you to take them, then you've got a free set of bees and you've saved yourself anywhere up to sort of £180 it can cost if you're buying a colony or a nucleus, which is a small starter colony, basically, that someone can sell you. Right. Then you've saved the money there, but you still need to buy the hive, the frames, the wax, your bee suit. That's normally quite expensive, £50 upwards. And then various bits of equipment like hive tools and smokers.
Yeah. But presumably all these things you buy once, so they're sort of just upfront costs and then after that, less expense.
Yes, most of the big costs are upfront, but there are a few running costs. You can save money, you can try and build certain bits yourself, you can use cheaper alternatives to smoker fuel, you can collect pine cones and things like that, dry grass out,
yes,
anything
yes.
to try and save yes. a bit of money.
And I suppose second-hand things are available, as they're with most things.
Yeah, you've got to be careful doing that with beekeeping, because there's a lot of diseases that are really bad for bees, and they can spores from these can last for up to 50 years.
Right.
They can be...
Okay, so not so good for second-hand then. So
you can. There are ways to treat equipment though. If you get some advice on how to make sure that that's not going to be a problem.
Something to be careful of then. So you spoke about there being lots of beehives in London on roofs and things like this. Can you put beehives just in your back garden?
Theoretically, yes. It depends how close you are to your neighbours. If your neighbours are happy, if you own the garden, or if it's a shared garden, or if it belongs to the landlord. It depends how big the garden is, if there's a footpath or a school at the bottom of the garden.
Yeah, but if you've got a reasonably big garden and amenable neighbours, is that okay?
Then yes, what I would recommend is putting something like a green garden mesh netting up in front of the hive about 6 foot high.
Yeah.
And then when the bees come out of the hive, they learn to go up to 6 foot high and they'll continue flying at that height. So they're going above anyone's head rather than crashing into them.
Right. Yes. Yes, I see. Oh, that's a good tip then, isn't it? Now, so we've got the cost, which sounds to be not insignificant. So you possibly could put bees in your garden or find space. Actually, where do you put bees if you don't put them in your garden?
Again, it all depends on permission, but if you can find allotments are fantastic because of all the fruit, veg, flowers that are being grown.
Yeah.
And also the bees will do the pollination. Similarly for farmland, if you've got farmers growing something that flowers, obviously not wheat and things like that that are wind pollinated, but anything with flowers, so beans and borage and oilseed rape, that'll be ideal. And then again, if you can find a nice piece of land with wildflowers, like the site I have with the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust. Orchards are very good.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, a few possibilities there. And so how about the commitment? How much time does it take you?
So again, that depends on the time of year. So at this time of year, I'm barely doing anything. I'll just be having a quick drive around, and I'll just lift up each hive and just feel the weight. And if I'm struggling to lift it, that's fine, I'll leave it alone. But if it's quite easy to lift, then I need to intervene and I'll feed. So I'll do that about every 2 weeks or every month between December to February. And then when you're in the sort of peak beekeeping season, so any time between April to July, maybe August, depending on how the season's been, then you need to be going every 9 days to stop them swarming.
Right. Okay. So probably less than having a dog or something like that, but not the kind of thing that you can just abandon for weeks on end then.
Yeah, you can't really go on a 2-week holiday in June. That might be, you might come back and find most of your bees have vanished.
Right.
And okay. Your neighbours might be complaining that they've got a cluster of bees hanging in their tree.
I suppose beekeeper, presumably, do you help each other out if you do need to be away?
Yeah, again, that's why I'd recommend joining a local association, because then you can get yourself a bee buddy, I think they call it, and then you've got someone who can advise you on any problems you have, and also you can look after theirs while they go on holiday, and then they can return the favour.
Okay, so you do courses with the Hutts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust.
Yeah.
Have you got some coming up in the new year, in spring things?
Yes, so there will be some in 2018, and the dates are still being decided on that, but if everyone keeps an eye on the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website and also the newsletter and magazine that they send around, and then dates will be released there. But we did a couple this year, and they got booked up quite quickly, and everyone seemed to enjoy it. So
excellent. So it was very popular then?
Yeah, it was very popular, and we were very lucky to have fantastic weather.
Yeah.
Because obviously for the practical beekeeping side of it, you don't want to be out in the rain.
Yeah. No, definitely not. And just one final thing, Hannah. Is the honey from your bees just the best honey?
Well, I'm a little bit biased by that, but I think any honey that's come from your bees, you're always going to prefer. And also, it's got health benefits. If you're having honey that's local to you,
yes,
then you're picking up pollen and things like that. It's just a good way of boosting your immune system, as well as having a tasty honey, basically.
Excellent. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? Hannah, that sounds just really fascinating hobby. Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to beekeeper Hannah Reeves. Now, as well as the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust that Hannah was talking about, the Hertfordshire Beekeepers Association are running beekeeping courses in the spring, aimed at those looking to start beekeeping for the very first time. Now, the courses cover theory and practice, and they take place, well, it depends which of the courses you join, but our local one takes place over 4 sessions. Now, they start in March, so that or earlier, so that those starting beekeeping can be ready to get beekeeping right away in April or June this year. Now, there's courses being run all over Hertfordshire, but the closest course to St Albans is that which is based at the United Reformed Church on Watford Road in Chiswell Green. And as Hannah said, your local beekeeping association is definitely the best place for you to start. Now, the Chiswell Green course comprises of 4 sessions on Thursday the 1st, Friday the 9th, Thursday the 15th and Thursday the 22nd of March. And they last from 7:30 to 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to find out more information about that, you can email info@stalbansbees.org. And I'll make sure that this information goes onto the environment page of the Radio Verulam website so that you can find it there. That's the environment page of radioverulam.com. Now, if you're interested in bees, you might like to know that the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are holding a talk and photographic discovery. You can savour the outstanding photographic skills of Andy Sands as he introduces you to his rare, strange and vividly colourful photos of UK fungi, plus the fascinating and rarely witnessed lives of bees, cuckoo bees and parasitic wasps. Now, this event will take place on Tuesday the 23rd of January, 8 o'clock till 9:30 at Howlands Baptist Church in Welling Garden City. And there's no booking required. So that's on the 23rd of January, 8 o'clock, a fabulous photographic experience with Andy Sands. And you can find the information for that on the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust on their website. Now, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust has also got some lovely events coming up, some great opportunities to see some winter wildfowl on their local reserves. Now, the first one is Friday the 5th of January, 1:30 till 3. That's an opportunity to explore Wheelstone Reservoir with their reserve officer, Josh. Now, he's going to explain and identify the different types of wildfowl and how they differ. And he's going to spend time seeing which species they can spot, both on the water and also at the margins. So that sounds like a really good one. If you've not really done any bird spotting before, that sounds like a great place to start. Now, you do have to book that, so make your way to the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website, and then you can book in there. And there's another event that's on the day after, on Saturday the 6th of June, 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock, and that one's at Stockers Lake. And again, they've got they've got the conservation manager, Tim Hill, and again, he's going to be introducing you to the wildfowl there at Stockers Lake. He's going to give a little talk as well. There you get a real mix of things there. You've got some wildfowl that have travelled great distances to be there, and some things that are more local as well. And they're going to be, again, walking around the reservoir to take a look at what they can identify. And if you fancy another one, again, this sounds like a good one. If you fancy some bitterns, you can go to a bitten roost watch, and that's on Wednesday the 10th of January, 5:15 to 6:45 at Tring Reservoirs. Fascinating. See, there's really rare birds there. And again, you'll have to book that on the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website. Now, I'm going to be back with you, as usual, next week, when I'm going to be talking to Dr. Joe Woodgate about his studies based at Rothamsted Research into how the flight paths of bumblebees might improve the efficiency of robots in the future. That sounds intriguing, doesn't it? Anyway, until then, thank you for listening.